All right, everybody. Welcome to the Forging Worlds panel here at Outpost Chicago. How's everyone enjoying their Outpost so far? Good? Yeah?
Awesome.
Very nice. We're going to be talking about Forge, everything in about Forge, how it started, where it is, and how to get involved with it. First of all, for introductions, I am Duststorm. I am the host and owner of a podcast called Podtacular. We cover anything and everything under the sun of Halo, so including Forge, but we've got a pretty good lineup of panelists here, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi. Hello, my name is Brewski. I am a member of the iForge map design team. I'm also the founder of the Halo Sparkforge Network group of YouTube channels, and I am a senior member of ForgeHub.com.
I am Dark Death. I'm a member of iForge, and I help curate the latest BTB refresh.
My name is Jason O, and I made Blue versus Red 2003, the Griffball map.
My name is Time Dipper. Surprise, surprise, I'm also part of iForge, and I'm part of the BTB community, forging community, that helps bring maps to the playlist.
So who here is aware of what Forge is by show of hands? Most people? Okay. All right. Even people walking in the back. All right. So
that's great.
For the most part, Forge is an in-game tool that provides a capability to create user-generated content, including game modes, maps, other pieces of artwork, and all that kind of stuff. We'll go ahead and skip on over that since everyone's kind of familiar. So Forge originally started in Halo 3. It's the first game to feature this game mode, and it helped popularize some very now infamous game types such as Griffball, Infection, including some other fun, crazy game modes that we now have in Halo 5. And there were basically a couple template maps that helped start some of the creativity that Forge has come to grow with now. Did anyone up here get their start with Halo 3 Forge, or is everyone kind of a little bit after?
So I dabbled in Halo 3 Forge.
So how is the experience then versus now?
I think it's really, back then you had to be, well, actually then and now you have to be very creative, but back then there was a lot less tools to work with, and it was basically trying to do stuff within maps, and then they released Foundry, where you could like clear it all out, and then you kind of had like a blank space to create something. So that was kind of my very first time with Forge, which was right away when it was released. It was a pretty exciting time.
Yep. I mean, this was the first time that we could really make our own mark within multiplayer in Halo. So yep. Definitely had a lot of spark creativity, and it just keeps getting better. So with Halo Reach, we had a couple of additions, a lot more objects to work with, some dedicated Forge maps, including Forge World, and we had some other additional tools that were added to the toolbox, things like snapping, precision, being able to actually merge objects and phase objects together, which was one of those other fun tricks that you got to learn in Halo 3.
Yep.
All the Griffball maps in Halo 3 involve some kind of trickery, which some of that stuff made its transition into Halo Reach's Forge and ended up becoming some core features and fundamentals that are now incorporated into the Forging Sandbox. We had some rudimentary prefabs as well as terrain pieces that kind of helped give the a little more developer look and feel to some of the community-made maps, which kind of helps, but unfortunately, Reach suffered from a very gray palette.
Very gray.
Very gray. So as we move into Halo 4, we have a few more additions here as well, some big things being trait zones and magnets being some of the key, I think, very useful pieces. Forge Island was kind of the first of its kind, being a truly open space for Forge, just kind of a flat landscape to use for forging. And then we had some more nature objects, green screens, object highlighting to make forging a little bit easier, so you know what you're picking up and moving. Object locking also helped with make sure you don't accidentally delete or remove a piece and that kind of stuff as well. So Halo Forge definitely had its additional improvements to the Forge sandbox as well. Halo 2 Anniversary Forge didn't add too much, but scripting has played a significant role within Halo 5, so this was kind of the first take on scripting to begin with. More objects were added, and then we get to Halo 5 Guardians, which is probably one of the biggest leaps and bounds in the Forge capability since its inception in Halo 3.
That's huge.
The step to from 3 to Reach was pretty significant, but Halo 5 just has blown a lot of people's expectations out of the water.
There was a lot there.
Yeah, what do you guys think for you is personally one of the biggest things that Halo 5 Forge has contributed to the forging community?
I mean, it's contributed everything. It's everything almost that we've always ever wanted and what we didn't have at launch. Well, when Forge launched, they gave it to us as DLC later on down the line. So for a forger to be able to get DLC from the developer on a regular basis, that was an insane step forward. And the amount of stuff you can do in Halo 5 still hasn't all been figured out yet. The possibilities are limitless. And the amount of tools that they've given us control over in order to make maps is insane. And I really don't know how they're going to top it, but I'm sure they're going to with Infinite.
Yeah. I know I really got, I started doing lobbies right away and making maps with a lot of different people and made a lot of good friends that way and got a lot of my friends I used to play with to kind of come into that. So it actually, was a community aspect that was bolstered for me. And but when I found out that I could just really make anything and everything that I wanted to, it was just became endless possibilities, and that's where it drew me in and keeps me there.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I mean, it was improved upon. The object count was increased. You were able to put textures on things. The scripting, it was really amazing. And just look at all the things that the community and the people have created.
Yeah, and that's just, and those screenshots are just a small smattering of what the community has created. And it's one of those things where when we came up with the background for this slide, we were trying to figure out a way to best represent everything that was created in 5, and everyone had so many different ideas. So it took us probably a month to try to figure out and whittle it down this set of screenshots, just because there's so much content that's created from Halo 5 Forge.
It's been, almost 3 years. It's been 3 years since it's released.
Almost four.
And there's still stuff comes out that every week that blows me away, that some of the community members come up with, things that I've never seen ever before, and I have seen a lot of maps. So I think that there's still a lot of greatness to come out of Halo 5 that we've yet to see until Halo Infinite gets here.
Yeah, just a little something for everybody. I mean, some people like making pixel art. Some people like, doing griffball. Some people take it hardcore into level design. There's just a little something for everybody there. Just need to give it a try.
Yeah.
I think it's also worth mentioning just the amount of pieces that we got with Halo 5. It was a substantial increase in pieces. And we got to the point where we actually started to know all the pieces off by heart and where to find them. And if we didn't have a piece, we would find a way of merging them together to make sure we had something that looked like it should. And every day, people are making prefabs too using these pieces, and they're just blowing us away with what people are creating. And we have some examples later on. And actually, there's one there with the frog. It's just merging pieces together like that and making these really cool things that other people can put on their maps afterwards. It's the collaboration between people is just so amazing. It's a big part of our community.
Whatever you can imagine.
So Forge has had an impact on many different areas. This is just kind of the high level look at some of it, but custom game lobbies has been a pretty significant thing ever since Halo CE, but being able to kind of make those custom experiences and being able to have those community nights or LAN parties and that kind of stuff, Forge has really helped foster that community. Matchmaking refreshes, which we'll talk about the Big Team Battle matchmaking refresh here in a little bit, but that has also given Halo kind of second winds in the sense of being able to bring people back. So you'll see a lot of the forging community actually work with 343 to curate content and maps and modes that people have made and see how it fits in, see if, how it would work into a matchmaking refresh of some kind. And there's lots of community representation because of that. Forge has also had an impact on the Machinima community, being able to create the landscapes, the stages, the other assets and pieces that are used in Machinima. Forge has had an incredible, profound impact on that community, even with just the iterations. And then the development of community. So we have iForge represented in full here at Chicago. We had Forge Hub represented in full in Philly, and then we'll have a smattering of different Forge individuals in Houston and Anaheim as well. But just the fact that there are so many different forging communities and channels and networks out there just shows you how crucial that Forge as a mode in Halo is to the greater Halo community. I mean, I think you guys can probably speak best to the impact that Forge has really had on like being able to make your own content and have almost a specific voice for people to have, or an avenue for people to have their own voice in Halo.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you, number one, some of the best people I have met have been through Halo and Forge. I mean, these people here and the people in our customs, mm-hmm. some of the best people I know. And that's because of Forge.
Yeah.
And as far as the impact on matchmaking, if you were to go out to the store right now and buy Halo 5 Guardians brand new and go home, pop it in your Xbox to play online, it's 70% of the maps are going to be from the Forge community that you're going to be able to play. So, you know, by this point in time, we're making more of the content than the developers are for the game later in the game. Lifespan.
Yeah.
And so we're keeping it fresh, keeping it updated. As you said, we just put the Big Team Battle refresh out there a couple months back, and that did really spark some new life back into the game. And fans are just happy that they're still receiving new maps and content this many years later, whereas most games, you get 1 year and that's it. And you're going to have to buy the next Call of Duty. So
it's one thing for them to make this tool and put it out there. But then again, to reach back out into the community and say, what have you guys made? Like, we're going to embrace that and put it into matchmaking. I mean, all of us were just regular Joes like you. I mean, take up Forge, level design.
It is, but the support we get from 343, if you guys would believe it, is phenomenal. Any one of us on the stage could message a 343 Industries employee tonight about something to do with, you know, matchmaking and a map, and we're going to probably get an answer back really quickly. And they'll tell us what to do and how to move forward with that. So to have the support at the top, all we got to do is really hold up the bottom, and then, I mean, it's a win-win situation for the Forgers and the game itself.
Certainly. So there's some basic design concepts when it comes to creating a map from Forge or in Forge. Map layout and flow, depending on whether you want to make a symmetrical map, an asymmetrical map, location of power weapons, power-ups, and vehicles. Visual theme, like the environment that you're looking at, if you're doing Forge art, what are you trying to create, and then the gameplay, so the different kind of game modes that there are, whether you're doing Capture the Flag, Infection, Slayer, or some other custom, crazy, wacky game mode. And then other core concepts like balance and spawning. A lot of these basic design concepts were kind of founded in the Halo 3 Forge tool, and there's still some of the basics within making a map, but there's a whole nother level that can really be dove into, which we're going to do that right now. So what drew you guys specifically into Forge? What was it about Forge that really wanted you to spend all the time and effort that you do in Forge now?
I guess I can start here. For me, it's really about building environments and levels. I'm huge on like architecture and just environments, landscaping in general, and Forge giving me the option to have different terrain pieces and throw something together the way I want to. I can make things that I would like in real life. I can do things. Even my father asked me one day, can you just plan this out? I want to do something in the garden. Can you plan, like, put something together in Forge, like, on your video game to show me what it would look like? So I kind of did that, and it just, there's so many options there. So that's one of my favorite things, is just putting something together, environments, and sharing that with people and friends.
Exactly. To create almost anything I could think of, and then to be able to play with my friends, to also remake the levels from other Halo games. Now, I've got a 5, but I wanted to play District. One of the first maps I made in Halo 5 was, it's called Car Wash, and it's the car wash theme on like Wizard or Warlock.
Hmm.
You know, so each little base was like a gas station, you know, and inside the center was that. And in Halo 5, there was when Forge came out, it was a mad rush to recreate all of those things. And then bringing campaign locations to multiplayer experiences, recreating those levels.
Yeah, I think for me, it was really... I really enjoyed rebuilding things from the campaign, but I also really enjoyed building things that were not Halo, but I wanted to play Halo in them, like different popular things like Star Wars or Jurassic Park. I had ended up building maps like that for me and my friends to play on and for other people to play on, because to me that was just so much fun to be able to just merge things with Halo that I enjoyed and making Halo my own version of Halo. So that's what it was for me.
I started off building, like most people do, obviously, but as time went by, I was kind of put off building so much as I was really intrigued by what I was finding for the community out there. So I spend a lot of my time now pretty much focused on what I can find from the forgers out there because it blows me away. They make amazing things, and I get to be the one out there to go out and discover them, and I find that more exciting than actually building these days. However, the ability to create whatever I want, much like Jason said in Death, is definitely what drew me originally to the concept, the idea of I can play Halo anywhere I want as long as I make it.
Ruski's done a really great job of shining a spotlight on a lot of different forgers and a lot of different maps and bringing that to a lot of eyeballs out there.
Yeah, and it's definitely, we'll talk about it with a big Battle Refresh, but it definitely plays a significant role within the Creator Forge community to have a lot of recognition out there just for the talent that's putting the time and effort into creating these experiences and also making sure that even if someone's getting started, that there's still an avenue for people to learn, to grow, to keep expanding upon their abilities to create something and something that can be shared by everybody. All right, Jason, you're up first.
All right, I probably should have said this at the intro, but I'd like to thank Dust Storm and 343 Industries for making this opportunity for us to come here and to speak to all of you wonderful people.
Likewise.
Now I'd like to ask the audience by applause, how many of you have never used Forge before?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, one person.
So you guys have all used Forge?
Oh, wow.
All right.
We're amongst good people here.
Well, that's great. That's great. We want more people. And I really want to reach out, and we're here today to take this opportunity to introduce new people to Forge and to Level Design. And hopefully you'll give it a try. So
yep.
I've outlined some things here that you'll need to know to begin. And later on, I'll talk about like Halo gameplay and stuff like that, but these are great beginning blocks to getting into it. So the things you'll need to know in the very beginning, you'll need to know the controls of the editor and a little bit about its menus. You need to know the inventory. There's a bunch of cool things in there. Toys, vehicles, grunts, physics sliders, along with simple primitives, and very complex detailed pieces. Then you need to know the mechanics of the game you're building in. Player size, you don't want to be going around bumping your head into things. You know, there's two of us in here. The movement, walking, sprinting, jump, clamber, etc. These two other things, not necessarily needed to start when you're building a level, must always remember to allow yourself to be free, but ask yourself, what game modes are going to be played on this level? CTF, Slayer, or a custom mini game by your design?
That's great.
What kind of level is this? What is the overall theme or place or idea? For some, this is the hardest part. And you can look for examples in the real world, like books and movies, like Dark Death to here, recreated Jurassic Park, and also Starkiller Base from Star Wars. Real world structures and places. You can landmarks such as the Eiffel Tower or Statue of Liberty. There was a gentleman named Joak 20 that made a map called Landmark that had all that in there. He had aliens attacking the city. But Joe is best known for prop hunting.
Yes.
In Action Sack. Here's another idea. How about recreating the skyline of Chicago? Hancock versus the Willis. Hancock versus the Willis, but you can also do it on the map like Facing Worlds from Unreal Tournament, however you want to do it. Now, from idea to design process and methods, there's a couple different ways. You can draw just a simple little doodle on some paper or a whiteboard, or graph paper is really good. Gives you a good top-down 2D. And if you're still having trouble with that, you can always use like a crossword puzzle and maybe just fill in the squares that way or something, but it gives you a good outline on what you want to do. Another example, sometimes people build the assets first, which is called, in Forge, is making prefabs. You want to make your hallways, ramps, columns, door frames, etc. This other method is particular to me. I like to use it. It's cutting, sculpting. In Forge, you know, you can duplicate objects and make groups. So I like to take a little 8x8x8, which is kind of equivalent to the player size, and I'll make a cube out of it. Examples, and then, you know, from that cube, I like to cut things out, and I'll sculpt my map from there. There's another game where you kind of do that just naturally in the game. It's called Minecraft. You start digging into the world. You start building your own little houses and caves and all that. It's really cool. But when I first heard of this method of cutting and stuff, it was actually from Halo CE multiplayer lead designer, Hardy LaBelle. Hardy LaBelle's got a couple of YouTube channels. One of them is called the Video Game Career Academy. And in there, he talked about learn to cut. Learn to cut can be used in the game design, as sometimes you need to remove a function or feature due to time or resources, but also using learn to cut in creating the level. His first map in CE was Rat Race. And that was just him learning the cutting tool. Okay, so now you got a couple of ideas and different methods to build. Now here are some questions to ask yourself while you're building. How does this new space feel? And does it look interesting to me? For we are our toughest critics. Try to imagine gameplay scenarios while you're building, but you truly won't know until you play test. And then you should check out theater mode, which is another staple in Halo, and watch the gameplay. While you watch the gameplay, ask yourself, are these players finding where to go? Finding each other, and how are their engagements? Are they finding the pickups? And how are the spawns, etc.? While viewing others' perspectives, you can also learn new trick jumps, or you'll learn exploits of the map. There's a guy on Twitter, his name is clearly me, at MCC Trick Jumps. This guy does amazing stuff. I mean, but he primarily does it in Halo 3, but he's pretty much finding pixels to jump on. He's amazing. Upon testing and getting feedback, it's important to be open to others' perspectives if they make suggestions. Just let it marinate. Usually for me, if someone makes a suggestion, I'll try to add it in, as long as it doesn't break the map or ruin the overall gameplay experience. It's hard to please everyone. And remember, nothing has 100% approval rate. Now we got a little ahead of ourselves. Let's get back to testing scenarios and gameplay. Halo's original gameplay motto is 30 seconds of fun. And examples of that in that 30 seconds, you want to at least kill an enemy, make or stop a flag cap or bomb plant, hijack a vehicle, etc. When designing cover, it's best to use the geometry of the level and having a bunch of pieces all over your map. And when you're using the geometry of the level, it'll make it easier for players to find the path. Make sure you separate the floors from the walls. And a simple way you can do that is just by color. And when you're doing art, you can have one be complex and one be simple. Another way is for drawing players along paths is the lighting. It's important to have pathing lighting along with environmental lighting. Lighting naturally draws the player's eye. Or weapon placement to ensure flow to certain areas or to create choke points and control. There's also the weenie. The weenie is an architectural visual icon that causes players to gravitate naturally towards a location. A visual magnet. Now, you want to know why it's called a weenie? Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, because I didn't know what it was until you had to explain it to me.
Well, weenie, that's thanks to Walt Disney. Walt would come home late from work, and he would give his dog, Lady, a raw hot dog. And he realized Lady would follow him everywhere as long as he held on to that hot dog. So you want to have these visual magnets on your map, usually done with the structures and stuff. Well, that's about it. That's really to get you started. I hope after this panel, you'll have a newfound passion for level design in Halo's Forge.
So what's kind of the couple of things that you think people that you see recurring often that people are kind of missing in their level design? Like if you had to iterate on a few of these, just like a couple of these points that that you just brought up, what are some things that people probably missed the boat on a few times or more than not?
And well, to go back to the lighting, I see a lot. You know, people want to do these, have this awesome atmosphere lighting and all that. Like, ooh, look how great this red light behind me on this thing works, but I can't find where to go. You know, I don't know where the door is or where it's at, but you got a great light on this pop can machine. It's great, but lighting's a little bit off. That's why.
Actually, also, if I may,
jump in.
One thing that I've found a lot that people have a hard time with is scale. You can make great big maps or very small maps, but if you're trying to put a lot of players in small maps or too few people in players in very, very large maps, then you end up kind of running into where you're not engaging. And even that 30 seconds that Jason was talking about, you're not doing some of those things. And so trying to find what works. Exploration can be fun for the maps, but always just making sure that it's within.
Well, if I go back to the cutting thing, when I'm cutting it out, I don't use a whole lot. I don't sprint or do a lot of that stuff. I just use the normal walking speed to get me from this point to that point. And you'd be surprised when you go back and add the abilities on there that they still work. They still work in there fine. But I'll always design at just a normal walking speed. And that kind of keeps you close.
Scaled in.
Yeah, keeps you within range.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I actually have another thing too. Something that I take to heart is when on my maps, people are like, oh, I didn't know that vehicle was on there, or I didn't know those weapons were on there. So I find it's really important, especially on bigger maps, that you make those stand out. You put them somewhere where people will walk through, or you put them beside the weenie, and people will gravitate towards it, and then they'll be like, oh, hey, there's a cool weapon here, and it just kind of clicks with them, and in the future, they know exactly where to go. So it's always kind of important to kind of associate your weapons, your vehicles with something on the map, just to make that connection really, really quickly.
Spawn something with that. Spawning someone right next to a weapon or a vehicle.
That's oops.
Like, don't need to look for it, it's right there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, thanks for that, because that's a very good, like, in-depth, like, look at things to consider when you're actually serious about designing a level in Forge. So, yeah, some great stuff.
Thanks.
That is very important to think about when you're creating your own Forge maps. So Time Dipper, this one is yours.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be talking about three things. It's going to be mostly a show and tell, but a bunch of pictures, a bunch of cool community maps. And so first I'm just going to talk about a little about creating a world, and then about how people have taken inspiration from Halo to build their maps, and then lastly, just some other experiences that we've created with Forge.
Ooh la la!
So at this point, Forge isn't just a map editor anymore. It kind of started off with that at the very beginning, but at this point, we're just creating all kinds of different things. It usually starts off with what if, or I want to play Halo on this. A lot of us, we love to play Halo, and so we want to take the worlds that we love outside of Halo and bring them in. Some examples here are Jurassic World and Star Wars. We have Minecraft, and we even have Skyrim, and those were turned into maps, playable maps. The Skyrim one's a big team battle map, and we played that for a bunch in testing lobbies, which was so much fun. And then we have people that are just crazy creative, coming up with all kinds of crazy architecture that you can't even imagine. And prefabs, like the Gundam there, like that is just amazing. And yeah, and everybody is good at something different. So it's always cool when you have all these different people that are very talented in different things. And we'll be showing kind of different couple things here as we go on. And collaborate together to make a map. A lot of the times, it's not just one person that's building a map. A lot of the times, it's actually collaboration. So you'll have one person kind of playing around. They'll bring in somebody to kind of help out with level design. Somebody else will come in to help out with lighting. Somebody else will come in with just aesthetics. And it's really a community involvement. And we'll probably be talking a little bit more about that about in the matchmaking section, because there's a whole process that we go through. And so I guess we'll jump to the next slide. And talk about just atmospheres. Some people are just into the atmospheres. Forge is very well known for its limitations in terms of performance, and so we have to be careful when we build a map that the performance is still up to spec for matchmaking or just in general for playing. But some people, they don't really care, and they just create these fantastic atmospheres. So here you have some examples. Most of them you probably won't see in an actual matchmaking environment because of the limitations, but that's where we hope we're going to be going very soon. And we're constantly pushing the limits and finding ways to reduce performance issues with what we have and making sure we can get that into where people can play. And so we'll just go to the next slide, talk about the campaign. A lot of people just, they don't really want to come up with or don't want to have other IPs in Halo, or not rather, they don't want, they just are more interested in the Halo universe itself. So they take inspiration from what we love in the Halo universe, and we port that over to the multiplayer. Dark here, he built Ancestors, shown in the middle there, and I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about your experience with porting that over.
Yeah, I absolutely can. I really enjoyed the end of Halo 3, and so it was really cool for me to be able to build this. When I was looking to build this, I wanted to build something cool in the campaign that just felt very Halo. And actually, when I decided to do this, a few people said, no, you can't do that. And that's when I said, that's why I have to do it. I can do this. And I wanted to incorporate things that you'd remember from the campaign, like there's the side man cannons that will launch players onto the structure, whereas you're fighting on the structure, if you remember at the end of Halo 3, at that time, there's the Flood is jumping up onto the structure. So just little things that help immerse you in, that make it feel like, well, I am playing multiplayer, but this kind of reminds me of this. And so that's a good example of what I tried to do with that.
I mean, in the campaigns, they've created these wonderful locations and stuff, and you're just in there and you're like, I would love to play this with my friends. And I mean, like, all you just need to imagine, like, what if I open this door here or just punch a hole right in here, and then very quickly it could turn into a multiplayer level. And a lot of times in previous games, so game developers used to do that. But then, you know, sometimes they got kickback from the community as just being Halo lazy because they weren't creating new spaces for them and stuff.
Yeah, Halo Reach got that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, throughout all of Halo's campaigns, I mean, there's just all these wonderful locations in there that I'd love to recreate. And we're all slowly doing it.
Yeah. And another issue with kind of taking things from the campaign is you can't just copy and paste it over because the layout's not really designed for multiplayer. You'll have unbalanced teams, unbalanced landscapes. It just generally doesn't work that well. So we try to make a level. We kind of alter it while trying to keep the kind of aesthetic, that feel that we love, but still make it work. Yep. And then I have a question for you guys. Who knows this map? It's pretty much everybody. We all love this map too. And so it's actually probably the most recreated map in Halo, in Forge. And I also actually created one of these maps. Here are some examples of some really cool maps that were made in Halo 5. And people really take inspiration from these maps and they want to envision them in their own way. So they completely make their own skin for these maps, sometimes even merging. We have one map, they merged Guardian and Lockout into this really cool hybrid, which is really, really awesome to see. And me and Dark Death built the one in the middle, actually, with the lava. Completely unintentional. We built this cool little level for a contest, which was unrelated. It was a community contest. And we built this, or figured out a really cool way. This was, what, 2 years into Forge?
Yeah.
We figured out how to make lava using the water effects off the terrain, or off the canvas, and putting the chromas and different light, neon lights underneath the water to kind of give that impression that it's lava.
And it only worked on one skybox.
And on one angle. You had to look at it at the right angle, or else it just looked like water with plastic underneath it. And so we fell in love with that, and we're like, we want to play Lockout with this theme. And so we worked on this map for probably a solid 2 months. We blocked out the whole map to scale it 1-to-1 of what it was in Halo 2, which is a real challenge. And then afterwards, we were trying to come up with really cool buildings and stuff that we could use to kind of keep this theme of lava and make it make sense with Lockout. So we kind of have this refinery where people are using the lava to generate light. And so like you have these orange lights all over the level that light up the level. And it kind of looks like an oil rig almost, that's really remote and almost like in that volcanic setting. So that was a lot of fun.
See, that's one way to get you into Forge too. Say, I want to build something, but I'm not a great level designer or anything like that. You can take an existing thing and now just try to put a different theme on it. The gameplay and everything, it's already locked down, good to go. Just put some new art on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. And to compare that to a real-world analog, you have people that do covers of songs and that kind of stuff, and that's basically taking something that's there and putting your own flavor to it.
You don't have to worry about all that. All you got to do is focus on the art.
And it keeps things really, really fresh, too. Like, if you really love playing Lockout, you don't have to play the same version of Lockout for 3 years or 4 years till the next game comes out. Just every day, switch it up. Play a new version of Lockout. Get your friends. Play
different
a new
versions
one.
Right there.
Yeah.
Even the big team maps that shipped with Halo 5, the Forge maps, have been through their own revisions.
Yeah,
so the same big team maps that shipped with Halo 5 are not the same.
No.
Right. And lastly is the community experiences. So with Forge, we're not just creating the levels at this point. We're creating mini games. We're creating game types. And here's some example. We have people that build Duck Hunt and Pac-Man. And with the power of scripting that we have in Halo 5, actually, for people who don't know what scripting is, it's kind of like a little programming language inside of Forge that's kind of built into it. And so we're basically creating what we feel is missing in the game. In terms of minigames, we're building the craziest things out there. For instance, Captain Direwolf, one of the Forgers, he built this really cool game called Phase Shift. It's basically the same level with different aesthetics. And you're running around the level, and then all of a sudden you can press a button and switch over to the other dimension. So you're being teleported to the other side. So the guy's coming up to you, you can teleport over to the other side and escape him. And then you have like a timer of how long it takes until you can go back over. And so it's this cat and mouse game. And it's one level, but it's in two dimensions. It's really, really cool. And then we have game modes.
That one still blows my mind, Phase Shift. That one still blows my mind.
Yeah, I gotta really chime cool in content. On that. That was brilliant.
Yeah, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, there's so many cool things that are out there, even since day one.
We look in the corner there. Like, Bob is here, made a home run derby. And above that is Spartan Blood, and Bob is here's the Duck Hunt, recreated to look just like it was on the Nintendo.
Yeah.
As a Star Wars fan, the pod racing, when that released, like, there was even an article on IGN about that. The people were so excited about it, and to actually just jump in and race on a Star Wars pod, like, from episode one, and then to go through and have the race be created just like you remember it from the movie. And so that was a new thing that when somebody did that, it was like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. But that sparked so many other ideas and what to do with race.
It becomes a waterfall.
Yeah, the game types is a big one. Halo 5 is short a little bit in some game times, so we've really tried to make up with it from the community and coming up with our ideas. Because there's a limit of resources. There's so many people that have really cool ideas. Just to mention a few, we have Roaming Hill, which is King of the Hill style. It's actually just a hill that's moving around. So you're fighting for this hill, this one single hill that's moving around the map. And we also had Extermination that was added to matchmaking not too long ago, and that would turn into a rank playlist. So that's basically a game of Slayer, but you can only win a round if all the players are dead on one team. So it's really a big tug of war game. And it is really competitive, and it's amazing to see some of these things come up and to even get into ranked where some of the like biggest pros play. And I think One Flag, that one was really a testament to Forge. That one was probably in development for a solid 2 years by a community of scripters, just working out the little things, coming up with how to do things, figuring out the best way of doing things. And we were able to integrate it into the latest BTB refresh 2 months ago, after 2 years of vigorous testing.
It almost actually didn't make it. A couple of weeks beforehand, it was littered with bugs, and it was causing things to happen in the game that you wouldn't even like think of. Like, it was causing glitches, like you'd shoot somebody with a rocket and it would blow up, but there would be no damage, and you had to find different thresholds on different canvases that it would work on. So there's a group out there called the Scripters Guild that some of them worked tirelessly on trying to perfect that, and
that's
took thing. A long time to succeed,
they just
but
want
they
to do
did.
Scripting.
Yeah, they just want to do scripting. So if you're just interested in one thing or the other, or a multitude of things, it's all available for you.
Yeah, and it's all community driven. Like, it's a community. There's a bunch of people. Like, it's not just one person that's making these things. It's just amazing the skill and talent we have in our community.
So, Brusky, why don't you give us a little bit of Forge community history?
All right, so bear with me. This is a lot of information. It took a lot of research. But we're just going to start where we started at the panel back in Halo 3 in 2007. And we've already went over the improvements that Halo 3 later released to the Forgers after the initial map editor. And once that heroic map pack hit, Forgers started figuring out they were making really good maps. The problem was now they had to find other Forgers to playtest their maps and consolidate. And what they really needed was a home. Before the end of 2007, however, they didn't just get one home. They got three. And they are called Forge Hub, Halo Tracks, and Griffball Hub. Two of those three are still with us today and have a very, very serious following and loyal fan base. And they're a very active community. So they've gone all the way from the beginning. They've been with us since day one. So three separate yet interacting communities in the infancy of the Forge community. The new map designers, now they could get tips and tricks, they could get reviews, they could get feedback from other map designers and play tests. And without those things, you really can't bring your map into fruition, and you're never going to know if it's finished or if it's good. So the result was Forgers got really good at making Halo maps by the end of Halo 3. But after all this progress had been made in map design, the community had yet another early hurdle to overcome. And how do we get regular Halo players that aren't Forgers to play our maps? The community found a partner ready and willing in a thing called YouTube. And several people took up the forefront of the Forge, what we would call Forge map features now back then. But due to the technology of the time, the limitations of Halo 3, it was a rough period for anything shown on YouTube regarding Forge. But I'd like to give credit to Scooty and I don't know, Seamineer. I guess those were two of the first.
Those
were the two first Halo guys to go out into the community, find Forge maps, and get them on YouTube and get those to the players and get those that feedback back to the Forgers. This was a really important step, and they just started a trend. The content and everything kind of remained limited because of Halo 3's Forge, and it really wasn't until Halo Reach that we really started to see a difference in the community growth. But Halo 3 did bring about names like the Omicron, Who's Blaze, Wendell, Ensure, Golly Perfection, and Ace of Spades. Halo Reach changed everything. With the introduction of Forge World, which is the largest playable area in any Halo game of all time, along with huge improvements, we showed you the tool set list earlier. It was game time for Forgers. Set out to create the best maps and game modes community had ever seen. And some people to this very day, if you ask them, the members that were around for Halo Reach, they absolutely did that. And a lot of people still consider that their favorite game, especially when it comes to custom games. The community saw an explosion in numbers, but interest from outside the community, the websites grew and the maps stacked up and were getting played. A lot more maps were added and a lot more maps were put into matchmaking for the first time, and the popularity continued to soar. Spearheaded by custom games hosts and YouTubers. However, when I asked about this era, what made the community explode in popularity, the community members overwhelmingly that I spoke to all had the same response. And it was a little thing called THFE. Some people might know that as the Halo Forge epidemic. This was the first real channel that showcased Halo Forge map features the proper way. It was ran by a guy back then called Bevan's Law. I don't think he's really in the community anymore, but he had a lot of help from guys that are, like the Psycho Duck and Darth Human and the Omicron, guys that are still with us today. THFE brought a level of seriousness to the videos and presentation that really took Forge out of a niche and put it into the mainstream, exposing it to a very, very wide Halo audience at that time. At the same time, it inspired another Halo YouTuber, maybe, to start making videos, not only of his maps that he was forging, but of others' maps. This person would later go on to become the face of our community. His name is Sean from Forge Labs. Back then, he was just called Airsoft, though, and nobody knew what he was doing was going to have the dramatic effect that it does today. Other YouTubers such as iCamfer and God's Regret continued to spread Halo Forge maps and creations to the greater Halo community. And Reach also gave rise to what is known as Clan Kids, or Halo Clan Kids, who like to make clan bases. This opened up a whole nother niche in the Forge community, and it also brought in the Machinima creators, who were inspired by Red versus Blue, to come make their own maps or reach out to a forger to make a map so that they could make the Machinima series that they wanted to make. This made the demand forever more and more Forge maps even greater, and the community answered. Forge Hub, Halo Tracks, and Gripall Hub all thrived. Halo 4 Forge got off to a very strong start because of Reach's popularity and the now established audience in the greater Halo community. Use servers such as Online Knights popped up, MK47 Forgers, the Raffles Dude, and another instrumental forger who is also one of our most largest platforms right now snuck his way in. His name is ZaniVids. These people all played customs every week. They continued to build and grow communities, and every week they would show at least one new person a Forge map that had never played one before. In this era, we see the creations of another website that became very important, HaloCustoms.com, and another important site that forgers could call home and test and refine their maps, at which point they were getting very, very good. 343 agreed, and we saw Forge maps take center stage in a lot of playlists, and some of them becoming some of the most played game maps in Halo 4. Dispatch and Simplex come to mind first here. It was clear Forge was here to stay, and 343 cultivated and responded with Forge Island alongside other goodies they later added in. During the Halo 4 era, there was a video series that had a huge impact on members of the community like us, and it was called the Forge Games. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that is, but basically a lot of our best forgers at the time, a damn civilian, Nard Boy, Professor Nard, Lex, Sinzel, Reckless Riley, Who's Blaze, Forge Lab Sean,
got on a stage in front of everybody in the world and competed against each other for a prize at the end. This gave rise to the idea of Forge teams, and that the idea that you didn't have to do this as an individual, that if I was good at something, he was good at something, and he was good at something, all three of us could do what we're best at and come up with one solid map. And you'd see that Forge team theme really return hard in Halo 5. But Halo 4 was a great time if you were a Forger, and it holds some of my fondest memories. The Master Chief Collection didn't really add too much to Forge, so the community remained kind of how it was. It did grow ever so slightly, and we did see even more maps put into the Master Chief Collection from the Forge community than we did previously with Halo 4. And we saw a bunch of other more YouTubes pop up, including my group, the Halo Spark Forge Network. We had big members like Duquesne come along and Infinity Gaming to really help us get this out there. And by this time, we have lots of YouTubers, lots of communities, lots of websites, and our maps are getting played by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Right before Halo 5, you have the real first Forge team come out, and it's kind of the basis for everything that came after. It was called Creative Force. Creative Force is very important. They were the first Forge community to really take this to another level and act like a group of developers making a game they were getting paid to make. They assigned each other tasks, they had homework, and they had deadlines, and they met those deadlines. The result is three of those Forgers now work for 343 Industries, Who's Blaze, Black Picture, and Randy 355 all joined that team last year. And that made all of us Forgers, our visibility go up huge, our respect level go up huge by the people at 343. And nowadays, we don't have trouble getting an answer, like I said earlier, when we need it. We
Forge get was that stepping stone.
It definitely was that stepping stone. 343 pushed it even bigger with what Duststorm said earlier, the Big Team Battle playlist that came out originally, shipped with the game. It was all made by Forgers. This was something totally new. To those that don't know, they actually contacted those Forgers a few weeks before release of Forge and flew them out there, had them build the maps in the building. And that had to be a rad experience, and it certainly would be for any of us right here to do that. Hint, hint, 343, wherever you're at, for Halo Infinite.
I'm sure there'll be something for Halo Infinite coming down the road. Those that will have another batch of community cartographers.
Alongside Creative Force, you have groups like Halo ATN, the Scriptors Guild, as he mentioned, Forge Consolidated, Next Level Design, and another little one called iForge. Community members like Commander Coulson, Infinite, Foes, Knockyard, Dark Death, Wyvern Zoo, this is Dark Death here, and Ascend Hyperion leading the way in popularity and notoriety. Halo 5 has grown the community to new heights with more members and diversity than ever before. New sites like Play Griffball and Halo France join the community along with Halo Creation to replace the websites that are no longer with us, but Forge overall remains the home that's been our home since the very start. Social media and 343's Halo Spotlight, Reddit Halo, Reddit Forge, it's easier than ever not only to forge a map, but to get it out there to a member of the Halo community and get your map played. And the possibilities for any of you guys that want to do this in the future, they're infinite.
Nice.
Huge community out there. Huge community.
It is huge. And as you can see, there's a lot of history behind Forge.
I skipped a lot of that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a testament, though, because I think aside from probably the lore community, the Forge community is probably the largest Halo community out there. There's so much different ways that people can express their creativity through Forge. Forge has evolved over time in so creative ways, like Brusky was just talking about, and it's just incredible to see both the tool set change from developers' responses to how the community has done things, and then also what the community has done to take those tool sets and being empowered to actually go out and create these experiences within the game engine itself. I think that's just a testament to how important 343 and Bungie appreciate their fan base and their audience, and just goes to show that developer-community relationship thrives and is healthy for the community and the game as a franchise.
It's very helpful for them. Not only have they got game types like Infection, Griffball that are Halo standards now from the Forge community directly, like anything they need, we can come up with. Currently, One Flag's being developed, and among other things that fans want, that the developers, well, obviously they're working on Halo Infinite, they don't have time to do these things. So it comes down to the Forgers to really sustain the game after year one with Halo. And we couldn't do that without cooperation from 343 and their support, but they learn just as much from us as we learn from them. And every week, a forger out there will break something in Forge on purpose to create an all new drastic effect. And the developers will be like, wow, how did you do that? And they will then utilize that idea themselves. So I think the 343 is good for forgers and forgers are good for 343.
Definitely. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Dark Death.
So just talk a little bit about if you're starting to consider like, well, how do I get my map in matchmaking? First, I would actually really like to encourage, like, make a map for you. Make what you want. But if it's something that, like, you know what, like, I've gotten to a point where I can do this. I can get a map in matchmaking. The way is to try it is, first off, is just really just publish your map. You know, like, finish it so it's at a point where you're ready to test. And then publish it on places like Forge Hub or Halo Customs. And then social media, you know, like, just share it with your friends. Share it with, because you never know, like, who's going to see this cool creation and just all of a sudden it's just out there. And so that's kind of where I would start. But the biggest thing is test. You have to test to make sure things are perfect, make sure things are balanced. There's plenty of testing lobbies that have gone on over the years. And you can always create your own, but reach out to people in the community and try to just test with them, because it takes a village. It absolutely takes a village. It's not something you go into and just by yourself. Reach out to other people and just, you know, look for their feedback on things. I mean, the one of the best ways I can actually tell you how to take feedback on a map that you would make is that if you're hearing the same thing from multiple people, then that's an area to really look at. Like, it could be just a spawning problem, or if a bunch of people start telling you, yeah, this area of the map doesn't really get used, you know, maybe it's time to think about cutting that area or redesigning how that area is thought out. So it's actually like a very big sacrifice.
And you mentioned this, and Bruce also mentioned this too, but one of the things that I don't think gets the notice enough is that Forge from the get-go, you could actually forge with other people. So being able to not just... In normal game development, you have one person working on a map or some design, and then they check in, and someone else starts working on their piece. In Forge, you have multiple people, up to 8 people, going in and manipulating the map, and you're working together as a team to do this. So, as they were saying earlier, you have one person that might be really good with making sure the map's aesthetics line up. You have another person that might be able to really identify good map control and good weapon placements and good spawning. And you have another person that can maybe check for little glitches or bugs, or make sure the performance is good, making sure that, hey, someone can't hide here or sneak here, that kind of thing. So the ability that Forge has natively out of the box for multiple people to go in and do stuff, I think it's probably one of those underappreciated things, but it's very key and pivotal in how Forge is used today to make maps.
Absolutely. When I was getting one of my maps ready for matchmaking, whether it was going to go or not, I reached out to somebody to help me with some lighting, because I'm still bad at that. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, focus on your strengths. And then people love to help, because people love to forge. It's great that a few people can jump in and look at a couple different things. Like I said, it takes a village.
It does. You can't do it by yourself. The more people you have, the easier it's going to be. And nobody likes to hear that their map is broken or something's wrong. But like he said, if you don't test it and you don't find out, if you don't listen for yourself that it is broken and fix it, it's not going to get you to matchmaking. If you really want to get into matchmaking, if that's your serious goal, you can do it. But you need to test it, and you need to take that feedback and address the feedback. Much like Valhalla still being played over there on those Halo 3 monitors, that map, if it's going to go into matchmaking, has to work millions of times flawlessly. people's stats depend on that. HCS players' stats can depend on that. There can't be places where they can hide. There can't be holes. And the only way to fix that is with more people, asking friends to come into your map and help you go through it with a fine-tooth comb and just testing it, letting people play it, break it, and then you fix it. Sometimes the fixing process can go on for months, as Steph, when you're attempting just to get to that matchmaking hurdle. And then even after that, you're still going to get another list from 343 Industries of things you have to have and not have on the map. So your homework is going to run deep, but it pays off. And it'll pay off a lot easier the more friends you have around you and the more you get your map out there for people to test.
Yeah, which kind of leads me right into the Big Team Battle refresh. The latest BTB refresh was the largest BTB refresh we've ever had. And that's a group of us Forgers were kind of collaborating with 343 on how to fix some of the older maps, problems with them, changing weapon layouts, giving them facelifts because Forge had come so far. And like Bruski was talking about Valhalla, which is Viking in Halo 5. The before and after, we really were able to transform that map and have the working river. That was really important. That map is actually ported outside of the canvas to make the water work. I mean, just some of the things that you had to come up with, it's crazy what you can find. And it's not done. I mean, you still can find that stuff. But the Big Team Battle refresh was just... there was just so much work on that went into that. Some of us were actually working on that for 15 months before, I mean, but way before it was even already announced that they were going to do it. And then it was 6 months of building and testing. And again, the most important thing is just test, because that's how you're really going to find out if this is going to have it, a large amount of replayability, and to find that, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of map knowledge to find a good spot that you can exploit, or and then we got to figure out how to fix that and make it balanced so it doesn't happen down the line. So that's a big part of that.
Even the best forger amongst us will run into one guy who can get out of your map. One.
Yeah,
always.
So it's always good to have those resources.
Yeah, I think, really the last thing is just, again, hitting that, bouncing ideas off of other forgers. It's the bullet point there. Being able to sacrifice concepts that don't work. Sometimes there's just something you built into your map that you absolutely loved that just didn't work. However, you could take that and use it as a great idea for your next map. But sometimes things just don't work. But finding out other ideas, like I actually would bounce ideas off of Time Dipper, like on my map of where to put the Banshee, because up top of Ancestor, it was too difficult of a spot to get to it because the other team could always hold that. So he actually helped me build the bridge where the Banshee sat then at the bottom of the map. So that helped fix that idea. And that was early in development before it went into matchmaking. Had I not had that help, that map never would have made it in. And so it's great to just find other people that you can get ideas from. Again, it takes a village, a big village.
It really does, yeah.
I wouldn't mind actually adding to that, because sometimes you're on your maps for so long that you don't even see areas of improvement anymore. You're kind of blinded by your own work. You're like, okay, I think this is perfect. And then you get somebody in there and they're like, we can do this, we can do that. And it just opens up so many ideas. And then before you know it, yeah, it snowballs and your map rarely ever stays the same. Like the first thing you create, make sure to save it and then look at it once it's done, because it will go and change through so many phases. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very true. And with testing, when you're doing that, just make sure you really stress test things, that spawns work, that your lighting is good. Sometimes it's a different piece will just change the way, like if you have like a burnt looking section where it's just dark, sometimes your light map is too high, or there's a couple things to try to consider. So it actually takes a little bit of time after you're done with the map to complete the performance aspect of it. So, and performance was key to like go into matchmaking, because you needed that 60 FPS and you needed that, that there's not pieces kind of fighting with each other where it looks like they're glitching out. And that stuff, just making sure that everything's buttoned up really good, can't get out of the map, and then it's overall balanced.
And if you're not good at those things, then don't be afraid to find somebody who is. If you can't get the lighting down, then go to one of these community websites that we mentioned, or look, Google an article or a YouTube video and find someone who is more knowledgeable at that area of your map and reach out to them. Send them a message on Xbox Live. Hey, I could really use your help with the map. Ask these guys. You would honestly be surprised that most of the time you're going to get an answer, and most of us are willing to help other people in the community.
That's how I've made some of my best friends, actually, throughout the game. They messaged me, and we just started talking about what to do with their map or something, and that's great.
Yeah, it's really easy to get help if you just ask for it.
We've all learned from each other. All share with each other. It's just sometimes it comes down to, do we have the time to hop into your map to help you with something? But everybody in the community is just open and willing to help and learn.
Yeah, and if somebody doesn't know the answer, they probably know somebody who does. So, contact somebody in the community and they'll point you in the right direction until you find the one person that you need.
Yeah. Just make a map, bring it into the custom lobby. You know, play it, test it, give you some feedback. Maybe you'll inspire us. You know, it's got a forge.
So what are some of the things you guys want to see get added to Forge in Infinite?
It's right there at the top.
Water blocks.
Water blocks and volumes is kind of essential and something Forgers have wanted for a long time. And if anyone can hear us here, I know some of them are here. Bonnie. Water volumes would be very, very nice to have, and we would be able to create amazing, amazing things with that one piece right there.
But Spartans can't swim, right?
Right, but you got to have those hazard pits.
There needs to be like a pickup, like a little floaty device or something.
Nice. There you go.
Spartan floaties.
We'd figure something out.
Going down the liner, because all
a terrain editor, I mean, that really goes with the water blocks. Just a terrain editor to paint your own.
Has anybody seen how Far Cry 5 map editor works with the paintbrush, how you paintbrush your terrain on? That's what he's referring to where you can make natural terrain, and it's random, and it doesn't look generic and flat and all the same. Paintbrush is really the only way to say it. But.
You pull on it, pull or push like it's taffy. That's how you mess with the terrain editor. And I'll add on to that. Yeah, a terrain editor where we can manipulate a sheet. But it would also be cool if there was like a random map generator that would already put one out there. Not everybody's great at doing terrain. Some people are good at structures and lighting and scripting and all that other stuff. But like Minecraft, you can generate just map generator. It would do there, and you could just start with that.
Yep.
And object scaling, because even though they've given us 1,600 pieces in Halo 5. Sometimes you've had to use 2, 3, 5 pieces to make it fit in a space that you don't want to give up, where sometimes you have to rethink it a little bit, because if you're trying to optimize later on for performance, it'd be nice if I could just make that piece a little bit bigger, and that would do the trick.
I think a big one that we all want to see is AI. I think that's been a big talking point in Forge for a while now, because we want to build firefight maps. We want to build narrative maps, campaign maps.
Our own campaign maps.
Yeah, we want to add life to these maps. And I think AI would be just so cool.
And as things move into the PC era of being on console and PC, and just merging the forging community with the modding community, there's so many possibilities that could happen, even beyond what feels like infinite possibilities now.
No, we're going to continue to blow you guys away with things we create as a community.
And I guarantee it. I mean, that's an interesting point, too, because right before this panel, literally right before this panel, we had the Fan Projects community, and there was a bunch of Halo CE modders. So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of merges over time with MCC on PC and maybe Infinite toolset on PC as well, so that
having that forge and mining community kind of blend in a way is going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah.
We were just saying that right before while we were watching that. We were like, oh, that'd be so cool to get this talent into Forge and merge these communities together. We could make so many cool things.
The possibilities are there.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, I mean, that's one of my personal things with PodTackler, and one of my big things for the Halo community in general is we all are here as a Halo community. We all can work together and really be able to bring each other up, give each other ideas, all that kind of stuff. So the possibilities are definitely there. It's just making sure the right people are taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, I do have to give a shout out to the hopes for an undo button.
That would be great.
I don't know how many times. But just to undo something that I wish I wouldn't have done that, and instead of having to pull it apart or whatever you have to do, just to go back.
Yeah, because when you're in Forge, you want to save, and you want to save a lot. Because you don't want to get 2 hours in and then, whoops, I accidentally deleted half my map. And
or your power goes out.
Start, yeah, yeah. Something.
Oh, no.
Or you accidentally delete
like an auto-save feature.
I like to play with stuff. I like to put this there and let it marinate for a little while, see what I like it. And maybe I don't want it saved right away. I just...
I mean, like, just as like a backup.
I hit that save button a lot. It's very easy. It's very quick to hit that save button.
That's true.
It'd be nice to have a quick, like, whoops, undo.
Yeah, yes.
So I don't have to reload everything.
Yeah, that's, and again, like that's definitely...
And I want textures. Just a million textures. Textures for everything, on everything.
Time of day.
Yeah.
Also, like, a time of day cycle would be kind of cool. You could set the time, move the light wherever I want it, and then it could either just run, and maybe I could change the speed on it, or I could set it to a static time. It would be pretty cool.
Yep.
And then the last point, the object count, it's kind of unnecessary at this point. Like, a performance meter has been in Forge before it was in MCC, right?
Thanks.
So there's ways to forge a map where you could have unlimited pieces, but if you get over that threshold for performance, you're going to notice the frame rate drops, you're going to notice the lighting drops, and you're going to notice gameplay issues coming about. Like you said earlier, sometimes explosions will happen and nothing happens. So you don't know what's going to happen, but you'd be able to tell that you were over that budget without having the budget. So
yeah. That would be definitely one that I really want. Just having it where it's showing me the limits, where, because we've had to spend as forgers so much time going back and trying to make sure that we're getting 60 frames per second, and that, you know, things aren't glitching out, or you have too many objects in the distance that are disappearing or something. Like, if there's something that would help make that easier, or just take less time to have to do that, then we could spend more time making things than trying to have to fix some of them. I mean, that said, you still spend a ton of time creating things, and there's a lot of things that don't have to be fixed, but sometimes when you're trying to push your map to the limits, that becomes that fine tuning at the very end, and it can be that can turn to be kind of difficult. And some people are good at that, helping fix that, but it's something that we've also never fully been able to understand.
Well, it's kind of one of those things, like in H2A, they actually gave you like a bunch of structures, you know, bases, two base, three base, three floor. In Halo 5, you didn't really get a whole lot of that. But then if you wanted to have that, you had to build it with all these objects. So it kind of played itself in a way. But then they opened the cap and give you more objects, because it went from 1024 to 1600. Yep. But then that's where a lot of the performance issues came in. I mean, it was nice that they gave us this extra ceiling to play with. But now we had to learn, we really had to learn how to do it.
Right. How to deal with the engine limits, yeah.
It changed the way you designed your map and all that. You couldn't be looking at everything at once.
Right.
But
so we're technically over time, but we have 5 till the hour. So if there's any questions, we'll go ahead and take some of those. Go ahead.
Yep.
We have a microphone over there. If you could just step up and state your question.
Help to know.
And while you do that, here are some of the Forge communities that you can check out. But go ahead.
So my question is, so for like people who have played with Forge but aren't necessarily very good, like what's a good starting point?
On a YouTube channel called the Sen Hyperion, you'll find a video series called Understanding Forge. I think he's got 3 or 4 episodes up. He does a really good job of breaking down some of the more harder things to understand about Forge, and it would probably do the trick of putting you on the right path.
Or just even look at stuff that other people have done. If you're interested in a very particular field of what you're building, like if you're looking at buildings, maybe go look at some maps that have buildings and see how other people do it. Just break it apart, start deleting pieces and see how people are doing it.
That's actually how I learned.
You can learn a ton by reverse engineering, like you just said. But
I just went and tore it apart.
Pulling all apart. How did he do this? How did he do this? And you'll get it after a couple times. You'll see exactly how they did it.
Basically like reverse engineering a map.
Yes.
Yep. Pretty much.
It was, and it was actually really fun to have those aha moments like, oh, he did that way. That's really cool. I might have to try that. So I think that's a good step.
We all do that to each other occasionally and steal each other's techniques too. So
great question.
That's a big one.
Anyone else have a question? Going once, twice, no. Last chance. All right. Well, thanks everyone for attending the panel. Hope that you guys enjoy the rest of your outpost time here. We'll be around here a little bit if you want to talk to us one-on-one or meet any of the panelists. We're going to take a quick picture, but thanks for coming.
We appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the forging.